Thought for today. I compare myself to the best I can do. I compare myself to the best that I can do. In sports, athletic events, and so forth, people are always in competition with one another. There's a marathon race with many, many people involved in the marathon. There's a race, a sprint, that you're going to run quickly, or you're going to jump over the hurdles, or you're going to pole vault, or basketball, or football, or baseball, or tennis, soccer, all the various sports, many, many more. All are in competition with each other or with yourself. But most of them are with each other. Now, I'd like to dispel a current thought about sports. Sporting activities are considered to be a team sport in which the group works together to accomplish a goal. And I would like to recommend that we think of each team as one person, and that the members are like members of the body of the one person, for running, for jumping, for bouncing the ball, and for thinking and doing all these things. Any team that's a winning team is a team that's united as a unit, not as a unit, but as a single being. They moved with a single purpose. They moved with a single goal, a direction. They were one. They were out to perform their very best. They were out to give their very best. They were one. And all teams, if you look at them historically or currently, the teams that are winners are the teams that are all working together. No one is looking for the glory. Some people have the glory area, like speaking. Some people, when your mouth speaks, is that better than your foot that walks? Are your eyes that see better than your ears that hear? Or your lungs that breathe? Or your blood system and your heart that does its job? Is any organ, action, or function of the body more wonderful or more valuable than the other? If you lose your sight, you can still live, but much of life is not there. If you lose your hearing, you can still live, but much of life is not there. If you lose your legs, or your legs and your arms even, you are not able to do the things you want to do. And you can say, well, hey, let's die and get another body. And that's a good feeling, and that you can do. But there are people who say, hey, I put a cause in motion somewhere that I lost my limbs. I lost my sight, I lost my hearing, or whatever. I am going to put another cause in motion for me to be a meaningful contributor to my world by myself. I am going to contribute to my world in a meaningful way, and my world, which is me, is going to like what I do. So, some quadriplegics, they sit in their wheelchair and they work on their computer with a stick in their mouth. That would seem very tedious, very long. Now, with the voice transmission, they can just speak and the computer will take what they hear and then print it out. And also, it'll take what they hear and type it out, which is quite something. Okay. We have a body. And the body is always whole and perfect, even if we are missing limbs or facilities. And why can we say it's whole, even if we're missing some of these things? Because everything that we can do with a whole body, we can do with, so to speak, no body. Everything that we can do with the whole body, we can do with no body, because we put things into motion. I was in the CompUSA store yesterday, And this woman took the wheelchair out of the back of her car, and she pushed it to the side, and this man, apparently her husband, got in it. And he wanted to do it himself. And so he was making his legs walk, and he was taking his hands and trying to turn the wheels. And he did fairly well. But it was very awkward and very ungainly. But he got into the store. And then he went around in the store looking at various things. And he chose several computer parts that were important to him. And he asked the clerk about it. And the clerk, at first thinking that he was not a very astute being, treated him as a not very astute being. And then when he asked a few questions, the clerk thought, oh, so I got a live one on my hands here. He knows what he's talking about. And so you could just see the clerk's attitude change when he realized that the man knew what he was talking about. Each of us go through life like a possible cripple. We go through life with the expectation that we're not whole. We go through life saying that we're not whole and perfect. We have a pain here or there. We have a limitation here or there. We go through life and we pronounce it to the world. Oh, I had laser surgery. Did you know that? I did this, I did that, I did the other thing. Now, faith has a brother, Roger. And I don't know too much about Roger after we got married and after we left the family circle there. But he became a Mormon and he had 7 children and raised them beautifully, and all the children are now married and grown and have their families. And he's a very happy man, and he is now living in Salt Lake City near the Mormon Church headquarters and so forth, which means something to him. So, what could he do? I don't know anything about Roger. Roger may have had his gallbladder out. He may have had his appendix out. He may have had his tonsils out. He may have had some diseases of various kinds. He may have had problems in his business and problems in his life. I don't know anything about them. The only time I'd hear about him is when Faith would tell me about him and say, oh, Roger's doing so well. Oh, Roger's kids are doing so well. Oh, Roger's kids are so beautiful. Oh, Roger's wife is fantastic. Oh, this, oh, you know, that's all I know. Now, am I a blessing to Roger? You bet. Because I see him doing all those things that Faith tells me he does, and he is so successful and such a happy man, such a fulfilled man. And this is how I see him, and this is how he is. Now, will he fulfill that? Sure. Must he fulfill that? Yes. In my consciousness, he must fulfill that. In my life and my affairs, he must fulfill that, because I create him that way. He does not have the opportunity to do it any differently. Now, if Faith were telling me things that were problems with him, which he never mentioned to her, if he ever had any, then I would be thinking about those, and I would be empowering those. You see, I compare myself to the best I can do, and I speak about only the best I can do. I don't talk about my problems. I don't know anything about Faith Brothers' problems. As far as I know, he's the happiest, healthiest, heartiest, most fulfilled man on the face of the earth. Great guy. Now, do I know other people who have problems? Well, they like to tell me they have problems. I can't see them, but they like to tell me, and so they tell me persistently, Herb, I need help. Herb, I got this problem. Herb, I got this problem. I don't have any money. I don't have any money. I don't have any money. Oh, Herb, oh, help me. Now, what they're saying to me is, Herb, you fulfill my problem of not having money. Herb, you give me money. Herb, you do this for me. You do that for me. Herb, you do it. And of course, what do I say? I just say, hey, I see you rich. I see you wonderful. People panhandle for me on the street, not too often, and they ask for a penny, they ask for a quarter, they ask for $5. One woman saw me walking into the store Ralph's Market, and she saw me get out of the Miata. And the Miata, the top down, looks very, very lovely and very, very prosperous. And as I walked in the store, she says, "Mister?" I said, "Yeah." I knew it was coming. She said, "I'm here on this side of town, and I need to get on the other side of town where I live, and I don't have any money." And I said, "Well, how did you get here?" She says, "Oh, I took a bus." And I said, "Well, how did you expect to get back home?" She said, "Well, I expected I'd borrow some money or beg some money from somebody." And I said, "Well, why do you do that? Why do you go places where you don't have money, where you can't afford to go back? Why do you do that?" She says, "Well, because I like to go and see the town and stuff." And I said, "Well, that's nice. Do you have a job?" "No, I'm on welfare." "Don't you get money from welfare?" "Yep, but not enough to do all the things I want to do." And I said, "Why do you think that I should give you money from me? And you're not asking for a dollar and a half, which is what the bus fare is. You asked for $5. Now, what are you going to do with the rest of the money? You know? What are you going to do with the rest of the money? The rest of $3.50? And she says, "Oh, well, I buy some wine and take it home." I said, "Oh." I said, "At least you're honest about it. You were buying some wine. And that's great." I said, "I never support another person's bad habit. Now, would you say the wine is a bad habit for you?" She says, "No, I like it." "Well, what does it do for you?" "Well, it makes me feel relaxed." "Could you feel relaxed without the wine?" "Yes, I guess so, but the wine is much easier." And I said, "Well, I don't support another person's bad habits. So I wouldn't give you any money for wine. And I don't support another person's foolishness, because if you haven't got it in your head, you're going to have it in your feet. If you don't have the ticket to go back again, you're going to have to walk home." She said, "But that's a long way." And I said, "Well, I'm sure that you can probably talk somebody into it who isn't going to look for your highest good. But I'm looking for your highest good. If you don't get money when you beg for it over here to do that, then you won't come here again unless you have money. Plus the fact, why should I do more for you than you do for yourself?" "Well, what do you mean?" And I said, "Are you able-bodied?" "Yep." "What kind of work did you used to do?" "Oh, I used to be working in computers." And I said, "Well, why aren't you working in there now?" She says, "Well, I am just taking a vacation." And I said, "You mean you on welfare taking a vacation?" "Yep." And I said, "I don't respect that too much. Do you respect that?" She says, "I don't think about it. I just do it." So I said, "Are you comparing yourself to the best that you can be?" And she says, "Well, what do you mean by that, you know?" I said, "Do you know who you are?" And she said, "Yes." And she said her name. I said, "No, that's not you." I said, "You're divine." I said, "You're a divine creation. And as a divine creation, you can do anything you want in your world. As a divine creation, you can have a wonderful job, you can have a wonderful home, a wonderful family, anything that you want, anything that pleases you." She says, "Well, that hasn't worked up to now." She says, "I've gone to churches and I've done this." And I said, "Yes, I know. You've gone to 12 different churches." She says, "Are you sure?" I said, "Well, count them." She counted them. "Yep." And I said, "None of them spoke to you." I said, "How do you expect them to speak to you when you don't apply what they say? When you don't compare yourself to the best you can do instead of the worst? What did you want from those churches?" "Well, they had money handouts for people who didn't have any money." "And what did you want from those churches?" "They had food. They had a bed for the night sometimes." And I said, "Is that the way you want to live?" She said, "Well, when I had enough wine, I'm happy, you know." And I said, "Well, I'm sorry, I can't contribute to your problem. I can only contribute to your solution. Now, I give you this gift. You start saying right now, 'I like me, I like me, I like me, I like me.' Start comparing yourself to the best that you can be. Say, 'I like,' 'Oh, that's nonsense, that's nonsense.'" I said, "That's what I have to give." And I said, "If you will take this gift, you will be the happiest lady alive." And she says, but that's nonsense. I said, well, just say it a couple times right now. I like me, I like me. I like me, I like me. She says, I really don't like myself. I said, yeah, I know. So start saying it and start liking yourself. Start putting the cause in motion and start having the experience. And so she went away. And she went in the store. And she begged in the store a little bit. And she came out. And she says, hey, mister. I said, yeah. She says, look what I got. She says, I got 10 $5 bills, and I got two $25 bills. And I said, $20 bills. I said, really? And I said, what did you do? Rob the till or something? She says, no. I just asked people, and they gave it to me. And I said, and what did you say to them? I just said, I want to go home and I need bus fare because they give me $10 or give me $20. $10 works, so I tried $20. And she says, and they were glad to do it. And I said, now how do you feel about that? She says, well, actually, I was thinking about what you said while I was begging. And I realized that if I were to walk home, I would probably have the best result I could ever have in my life. But I got all this money. And I said, well, donate the money to somebody. She says, well, who are you? And I said, well, I'm the Church of God Unlimited, She says, well, here's the money. Give it to the Church of God Unlimited. She says, I'm going to walk home. And I said, you have just made the greatest decision of your entire life to compare yourself to the best you can do, to now start walking your own path and now start being fantastic. And she says, well, I don't know about all that, but I do feel better about it. And I said, well, just go for it. You see, when we compare ourselves to the best we can do, we do miracles for ourselves. Now, you say, well, Herb, why haven't you told us this story before? I've got dozens of them. I've got dozens of them that I come up with, every single day. And I put them in my blessing book. In my noodle, right. And I put them in a blessing book, and I use them whenever the time is right to use them. Just like I bring up stories from my days in the Navy when the time is right to use them. And I bring up stories with my brothers and my sisters and my family. And I do all these things when the time is right to use them. And it's fun. Is the time right now for you to compare yourself to the best you can do? Are you ready to compare yourself to the best you can do? I think you are. So I say, go for it. And I love you very, very much.